Hey, yo, it's been a long time, Penny X. Sorry. I've come full circle on this and feel that I'm fortunate that I just experienced the worst pain of my entire life. Now let me explain that. I had the worst tooth pain ever existed on the history of the planet, but I'm at 46 years old. The fact that that's like the worst pain I ever went through, I felt fortunate for it. But oh my goodness, man, I had some dark nights and had to heal up. I was talking out of the side of my neck, and I wanted to spare all you listeners from that. But I'm back, I'm healed, I'm happy. I got my man Mike with me. We've been talking NFL draft, we've been talking all kinds of good shit. But right tonight, we just got done with March Madness and we were reminiscing about our favorite college basketball squad. So that's what we're picking tonight on Paint Productions. Good, my man.
What's going on, Ryan?
I'm healed. I'm healed. I got a big hole in the back of my mouth, but there's no more pain, dude. So I'm ready to go. Ironically, on Paint Productions, there's no more pain.
That's awesome. Well, I'm glad you're healed. And it's funny because we lost the same tooth. So
Yeah, no
I think
kidding.
that's amazing in itself.
It's cursed, man. It's good to be out of your body. I'm starting to think it's, you know. Everybody needs to get that done. So
Yeah,
we
shoot.
were bullshitting around, talking college hoops and subjects for the next bag of six, and I left it kind of vague because I didn't want to spoil anything. But we're going with our favorite college basketball squads of all time. That's what I settled upon. So there might not be, you know, I'm not going to spoil your list if you got them on there, but I don't have like those iconic UCLA squads from the 60s or, you know, I'm lacking some Duke on here. These are just my favorite squads that I've listed tonight. How about you? You got some Lou Alcindor on there, do
I don't, but
you?
I got some heat, and this is some great heat.
I respect it, don't get me wrong, but like I can't. It's like when people talk about Jim Brown in football or like people make lists and stuff, I'm like, I have no doubt dude was a beast and I've seen the stats, but if I didn't actually watch it, I have a hard time like giving it validation, you know, even though the numbers are there and everybody says this. Maybe that's why the kids these days have their own favorites and their own goats, you know, because they just didn't actually witness it, you know.
No doubt. So I, all my teams I witnessed, and all my teams are certified that I like them. And this is going to be great because I can't wait to see who you got.
Not all minor champions, man. Some, a lot of these are passion picks, dude. So I'm just gonna go ahead and kick it off, dude. But as the humble host, much to my chagrin, because there's a couple that I absolutely feel like I need to have. And so I'm scared. But it's who I am. And I'm gonna give you the number one pick. So tell me, Michael Butler, what's your most favoritist college basketball team of all time?
Oh man, that was so I was expecting to go off the second pick, and I was expecting to go around whichever one you didn't pick, but I have two that I got right here at the top, and I just figured one of them would be yours. But since I like this program, and thank you for having me on for the 17,000th time. Appreciate it.
My favorite guest. He might have been my most frequent guest.
Man, I liked it when you did videos so they could see my pretty face. So I'm gonna take, oh man, this hurts, but it doesn't hurt. It feels good to know that I have the Fighting Illini. on my list.
Okay,
2005. My man, Rich McBride, Nick Smith.
You're leading off with Rich. I love it.
Roger Powell. And then those other guys. D. Brown, Darren Williams.
Yeah. Keep them coming. Luther Head. Come on.
The score, the leading scorer, Luther Head. My favorite player of all time from the U of I. And I put him there because I like to hang out with him.
Hope you weren't hanging around too many apartment complexes together. That's all I'm saying.
But yes, that is my number one pick. And I am really, really glad that I got them. So what you got, Ryan?
It's one of the only viral teams because my kids, you know, I've raised they I've given them the get out of jail free card that they're allowed to root for any teams they want. I'm kind of a product of my father where I inherited all of his rooting interests, and I've suffered through a lot of shitty Bears seasons, some terrible Cubs life, but you know. My kids, you know, they're rooting for teams they love and players they love. But the one constant they have shared with me is they do root for the Illini. So, hell or high water, you know, they love no other. And like the Arizona comeback is like one of those like viral videos that pops up like on their YouTube channels or on like, you know, and. They can recognize Darren from NBA. So it's like when one of those teams with some real meat to it that has some swag that like, you know, they're like, all right, Lana, we're nice with it. And they love this past season. I'm not giving up picks. It is one of my favorite teams, but I only have six to choose from. But, you know, this last season and recently with Io and Kofi and then now with Terrence, like, you know, we've had some squads. So like, it feels good. They didn't have to suffer through some of those other teams that we had to. But yeah, man, the 05 team is like the viral squad for them. So they're loving that.
Thank you.
Nice pick. And I kind of thought you were going there. And listeners will be surprised. Yeah, I did not have plans to draft that squad.
Oh man.
Payne Productions, they know I love that squad and they know I love the other squad, and that would be who many would assume I'd pick right now, but I'm not, because I'm picking my all-time favorite basketball team in back-to-back dominating years, but I'm going to pick the lesser of the dominating years because of the way it finished. I'm picking the 1989-90, not Flying Illini, but UNLV running Rebels. That is, oh man, when they were out there just clocking bodies, dude. We had Grandmama Larry Johnson, we had Stacy Augman, we had random Moses Scurry. These guys were crushing everybody, but I take the 89-90 is because they ended up winning the championship that year by beating Duke by 30 points in the championship game. I'd never seen anything in my entire life. It was the most dominating performance I had ever seen. Greg Anthony, Anderson Hunt, like they, it was UNLV and they were red and black. Like their uniforms look cool.
Coach was sucking them down.
Yeah. She's nicknamed the Shark. I'm like, why is this guy named the Shark? Tark the Shark. But like, their actual record was, you know, 25-8. They went 16-2 in their conference. Like they were great, but when they really came through and won the championship. Now the next year, I hope, you know, I don't want to step on any picks. So if you're gonna take that squad, they went on an unprecedented. After winning the championship, they won like all their games the next year, and like everybody thought they were gonna have the undefeated team, and Duke got their revenge. So even while that team, I believe, was more dominant in the regular season, I had to pick the team that got the chip. So that's why I'm taking the 89-90. Rebels, but man, I have to. Vegas, I mean, everything about it is cool. I mean, I wasn't even old enough to really understand what Vegas was, but Vegas just seemed cool. They were the Rebels, the running Rebels. Like, man, I had all their basketball cards. Like, it was just like my first team that wasn't Illinois, where I was like, holy shit, like, this team is fucking dope. And I had to take them with my number one pick.
Dope pick. So I think, and man, I'm not a good, so you probably got fact checkers, but I'm going to do this anyway. At the same year that UNLV was dominating the world by beating the brakes off of teams, there was a team called Loyola Marymount that was scoring like a record number of points.
God damn it. Is that your next pick?
No.
Oh, man, because that's my next pick, dude.
Oh, man. So
I thought you were going to steal it from me. You can if you want, but I can go off about that.
No, I'm going to let you have it. And man, my bad. And I'm,
it's all good.
My bad. I should have known. My bad.
No, keep on going. No, I'm not gonna let you gas me up, dude. I'm gonna save that one. How about you give me your pick? But I'm definitely gonna get into Loyola Marymount. That's for sure.
I'm gonna let you have it, and like I'm gonna let you say it with glory because I just pulled that one out of my ass. So I apologize.
No, it's good.
But
I love UNLV, that you're on that level with me, dude.
It was UNLV and Illinois for my first pick, and you took UNLV, and that was the team I was gonna go with, the 90 team with everybody, Plastic Man and all of those guys.
Yeah.
But since you left that one for me, I'm going to take my second all-time favorite team ever. Like, we lived it, man. So, like, the black Sox, the baggy shorts. We're from Illinois, but I rock some Michigan shit.
It was tough. It was tough to see that one so hard. Yeah.
So I'm going to take the Fab Five of Michigan and be so happy that I have the Fighting Illini of 2005 and the Fab Five. Oh my gosh. That was our time.
It was the highest rated 30 for 30 ever. Who was your dude? Everybody had a dude. Were you a Weber guy? Were you a Rose guy? Who was your dude?
So I liked the number five, and Jalen Rose was number five. The only thing that sucked was he was left-handed. But then, did you see their bench? So let's look at the bench. Let's examine this bench really quick.
Please do.
So they had a dude named Dugan Fife on their bench.
Yep.
Dude didn't get no burn. But the next year, that dude went bananas. They had another guy. This guy, Rob Pelinka. So I don't know if he could hoop or not, but he's on the Lakers now and he's calling the shots.
Yeah.
Or he was. I don't know if he still is. I don't follow the NBA as close as I should. But he was at one point calling the shots on the Lakers.
Yeah, he was.
I think that's Sean Dobbins. He went to the NBA. But yeah, it was. I like that team a lot. Sean Riley.
Yeah, Riley, the backup big man. That dude pissed me off. Because looked all goofy and shit, but he'd come in and hoop, and it was like, come on, man. I thought we were going to get a break. And then, like, you know, Juwan would take a seat, and this dude would come in. Riley would come in and just start hooping. And it was like, what?
And then the announcers had to tell you all the time, this 7'2" guy would start at any other university.
Yeah,
these are
yeah,
some
yeah.
phenomenal freshmen.
Oh yeah, and Dick Vitale would have a coronary every time he came. You know, they came on Diaper Dandies and all that kind of shit, man. Nah, but that team was a culture. It was a phenomenon. They had they basically, you know, this was before NIL, but they basically had their own shoe. Those Black Flights 100%. Were the Fab Five shoe, even though they technically couldn't call it the Fab Five shoe. Those flights were theirs, and
the long shorts.
Yeah, they were cold.
I remember. I think we had
black socks.
The black socks.
Nobody wore black socks before, man. Never. That was like an old man thing to do. But they ended up getting like Nike branded ones to put on with their all black flights, and it looked nice, dude.
Those socks were horrible. Only good for like one use. They never were the same blackness ever after that.
Well, all right, man. I guess I got to take it now, man. I don't want to leave it in suspense, but yeah, I'm taking that Loyola Marymount squad. Well, folks that watched Winning Time, I don't know if anybody watched Winning Time, but the guy that everybody loved to hate, played by Jason Siegel, the coach Paul Westhead, who won the championship with the Lakers, ended up getting dismissed. Magic put an end to his run. He coached 1 year for the Bulls and was basically done with the NBA and went and took his system. You know, he was going to run the system. And he took it to a small-ass college called Loyola Marymount, and they ended up scoring 122.4 points per game.
Hell yeah.
Run and gun is what they called it, and it was amazing to watch. And it was the first time they had two All-Americans, Bo Kimble and Hank Gathers, and Hank passed away in the middle of the fucking season.
Yeah.
Freaked me out, caught the nation by storm. I hadn't really experienced anything like that before. You know, like all these college basketball players were like immortal and like gods and heroes. And, you know, the Ben Wilson thing was one thing, or like Len Bias, like that was kind of off court stuff, or like you hear like drugs, or, you know, so, oh my goodness, this dude just straight up fell out on the court and it was heart problems and it was crazy. And
horrible
tragedy. And then Bo Kimble, the first free throw he shot every game, he ended up doing with just his left hand. He shot a one-handed lefty in honor of Hank. And they made a deep run to the Elite Eight in the tournament. And I thought my college was paid for, because I don't know how many packs of hoops basketball cards I bought specifically for Bo Kimble's going to the LA Clippers. I thought, oh man, they finally have their star. My man was scoring 35 a game. That's more than Jordan. This guy's going to be it. And life is going to, I had a stack of them, man. And that didn't come to fruition. But at the time, dude, like, it was like a video game, dude. I don't know how else to describe it unless you watched it. Like, they scored, I mean, they averaged 122. They scored games in like 150s. Like, the record, man, it was wild, dude. If you don't know the run and gun Loyola Marymount squad, you got to go back. And you got to check that shit out. There's been nothing like it that I can even equate it to in like the past couple decades. Like, you know, people talk about the current NBA plays like three point line, and people are chucking or whatever. And some of that's true, but this was targeted like shots. Like, it wasn't all threes. Like, they were running in for layups, dunks, short jumpers. Like, it was wild.
So we ran that offense freshman year at Centennial with Anthony, and Sonny didn't get to play with us. Sonny was on varsity, but we ran that offense at Centennial under Coach Nudo. And like, it was crazy. Like, the goal was to get the ball out of bounds, dribble one pass up, you either shoot from the corner or the guy cutting. Like, it was an amazing offense. And there was just so much to do out of it. And you were always getting up a shot really fast.
Right. That was the key. Like, you had great. Like, it was like, what, two passes and you had to shoot, or under 2 seconds.
Oh, we were putting it up, man. We were putting some shots up. It was fun.
Right.
It was definitely fun.
And it's best when you're being instructed to do such, man. Like, okay, I'll take 30 shots a game.
And we were on like a 1-3-1 on defense. Oh yeah, it was great, man. Their offense was bananas.
All right, I had to have it, man. I'm glad you spoiled it, dude. I'm glad we were on that page, dude. Man. All right, man, you're up.
All right, so we'll make this one easy. So there's a little phase after our Illini played that, like, I didn't have a team. And then there was a team, and their colors were close to our colors. It was about 2 years after the Illini, 2007. They were close to our colors. So like I would watch them because you know how your parents would turn some shit on and they're like, just the line I ain't it. Or maybe that was just my parents. Just the line I ain't it. I was like, no, that's Syracuse. Or just the line I ain't it. No, that's Florida. So Florida is actually the team that I'm gonna take from 2007 with my man Joakim Noah, Corey Brewer, Al Horford, Maurice Spates off the bench. Like they balled. And I think I don't know who the coach is, but I want to say it was like Billy Donovan or one of those guys.
It
So,
was, and that was the last back-to-back champs until this year.
that was my squad, my man. They made me watch basketball again. They were fun to watch. They were dunking everything, passing. They played as a team, good defense. And then Joakim had the crazy hair. Corey Brewer is just a skinny dude that looked like he came from Champaign-Urbana. I like their
All
team.
right. I liked Horford. See, I always like big, chunky dudes, man. Like, I always like that big dude that just doesn't really look like he's got ups. And then all of a sudden, you're like, oh, okay. You're a little more athletic than you look, dude. That was
Yeah, he's
always
a baller.
Horford to me, man. Love that dude. Still, he's still in the league, man, I believe.
Oh yeah, he's definitely still playing, dodging free throws.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good pick, dude. All right. Man, I might have to cut one. Got some good ones here. But I kind of, all right, I got those two. I got four more. All right. I'm going to go ahead and take one of those goated teams. Just because, again, it was like a team. It wasn't Illinois. Like in the 90s, wasn't really our decade. I'll make this autobiographical, like I said. I had the 89 Illini team, Flying Illini. We had a couple nice teams after that, but the 90s were, as Lou was leaving, before we get to Lon Kruger, things start picking up. Bill gets good. We had some dark periods after that, but we had a few dark years there. And this one team came across. I didn't like being a front runner. I didn't like the Duke. I mean, I already said I picked UNLV, but they were kind of a shooting star. They weren't a perennial powerhouse. Like, nobody heard of the Running Rebels before that squad, and nobody rooted for them since that squad. But out of nowhere, the 1994 Arkansas Razorbacks came out of nowhere, dude. And Scotty Thurman and
Hell
Corliss
yeah.
Williamson, dude. And like, Scotty Thurman was just hitting from everywhere, and the dude looked kind of doughy. But like, he didn't look like an athlete, but like, he was cooking people. And my guy Corliss, just this brolic diesel. Big socks, big everything, just look like a tank and just dominating in the paint, dude, going off for 20-7 nightly. They went 13-3, 14-2, won the championship on like an amazing shot by Scottie Thurman. It was suspenseful finish to cap it all off, but they were dominating all year, and I just liked it because I had never heard of Arkansas Razorbacks. I mean, maybe in football, but definitely not in basketball. And they ended up beating. I got a theme here because they ended up beating Duke again for the national championship. So it's not purposely done, but yes. Corliss went on to be like, I thought he was going to be the savior for the Sacramento Kings. That was like a. Another card I had quite a lot of too. I had a lot of big man cards and a lot of mistaken identities for talent translating to the NBA. But Nolan Richardson seemed like a cool dude. It was I love the squad, dude. I liked the little mascot with the running crazy hog with the fangs, husks, whatever you
48,
want to call them.
what they call it, 48 minutes of hell or some shit like that too, because they played full court press the whole game too. Like these
Yeah,
dudes were
man.
stealing the ball, they were dunking everything. It was fun. They ran through the tournament like it was nothing.
Yeah, until that last game. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. So it was only they game. Only got away with 4 points, but yeah, man, they cut through that tournament like a knife, dude, and it was But again, they call it the shot heard around Arkansas, which I don't think is a very catchy name because I guess it wasn't the world, but I still go back and look at that shot. And again, my kids watch those kind of highlights, and like the way the athletes looked back then versus athletes now is like night and day. And so I just like seeing them get after it, man. So I had to take them.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Man, oh man, oh man. This is fun, man.
I know, dude. That was my squad.
I thought for sure we were going to like bump heads. Now, like, I know I can safely have every team on my list except UNLV. So,
yeah, you think so? I still got a couple surprises.
I think I got you. And, like, I know what your surprise is. Okay. One of your surprises is on the East Coast, I bet. And it's in a, I don't know how big the states are up there, but it seems like Connecticut would be a really small state, right?
No, I got no UConn.
It's big. Oh, no UConn. All right. So I got a UConn team on mine. Nice. It's my favorite UConn team ever put together. Like I like Khalid Alamin and all of them, but this team had my favorite African player, Emeka Okafor.
Oh, man.
And he also had on his team Mr. Charlie Venezuela.
Yeah.
And then they had this sniper on their team named Ben Gordon. Like that team was money. So, and then you had Josh Boone off the bench.
With the dreads.
Let's see, Marcus Williams. Like this just all around good team. And that's my pick. And I like it.
I'm surprised. I thought you were going to go Alamine and Jake Voskal. No. I always like that name, Jake Voskal.
But I like Khalid. Like, he reminds me of – he was like the – he's the OG Kyle Lowry. Like, he's doughy, but he balls.
Yeah. Bulls tried to draft all those guys, man. But, yeah, dude, you got the big dogs, man. I forgot it, that Ben Gordon team. There's a lot of – a lot of hot UConn teams, dude. But yeah, that one was special, dude. Defensive, defensive minded. Omeka. That's dope, dude. I did not see that one coming. All right, maybe we won't bump heads, man.
It don't look like we will, man.
All right. I don't have to save my surprises then, because I'm thinking of bouncing off that Arkansas pick with another team from the same season. But you're going to be surprised, because it's like nobody was better than Arkansas that season. But there was one team that was special to me, Villanova.
Ooh.
And the only reason Villanova was special, and here's my caveat, is that year, after the 1994 season, a little video game came out called Coach K Basketball. And yeah, that was like our junior and senior year, and we used to play that game. I don't know if I've ever played a game more than that game, and that was when there was that sublet, remember, on First and Daniel?
Yeah.
And we used to run those tournaments and smoke blunts. It was just nothing but Coach K basketball. But you were a simp if you picked Arkansas, man, because like, okay, yeah, are you going to pick like the best team in the game? And I did not like, you know, going with Marcus Camby or Joe Smith or any of like the number one players. But you had status. Like, you had, if you snuck in there and it's like, well, I'm going to break you off of Villanova then. And people slept on the fact that Kerry Kittles was a damn assassin in that game.
Oh, no doubt.
He wasn't Damon Stoudemire. He wasn't one of the highlighted players in there that everybody else wanted to play with. But if you were slick with Villanova and Kerry Kittles started racking up those dubs, And that's how I like to get it in, dude. So I'm taking the 1994 Villanova just for the fact of their video game status and just to not be that guy. Because, man, anybody that came in there with the team I previously played, if you play with Arkansas, you were a simp, dude. That was just first and foremost, dude. Couldn't do that. If you came at me with Tony Delk, you were a simp. Came at me with Damon Stoudamire, you were a simp, man. But, like, you know. If you got in there with Villanova, dude, you could play. And that's how it got it
So,
done. So that was
yeah.
autobiographical, man. That game. And I don't, you know, I keep waiting now with the NIL. Give me another college basketball game, man. I know football's coming out this year. The kids have been
Yeah.
asking me, like, are they going to do Illinois on basketball too? I'm like, I don't know.
I need
But
to.
it's long overdue. There was only 32 teams in that game, and Illinois was one of them, man. So that was another cool thing. That team would have been nice if you didn't live in Champaign. Because, like, you were just a homer if you played with them. But Quan Garris was low-key slick in that game, and they had like Shelly Clark and
Oh,
Robert
yeah.
Bennett could dunk it out of here, and they had a young Jerry Hester on there. Like, that team was pretty
Sweaty.
slick too, but like if you play with Illinois at in Champaign, then you were just also kind of a chump. So I had to take that. It kind of stole from a, it was like a last minute add-in, but I had to.
Like it a lot.
Let's see. I got one, two, three. I got four. I only got two more. Damn. I could go about 10 deep. All right. Let me
You
hear
good,
it.
man? All right. I did not. I lied. I did not live. I was alive during this team, but I didn't watch them play.
Okay.
I watched highlights of them, and like the highlights was usually of one of two guys. One of them ended up playing for the Lakers and being an all-star. And then one of them ended up playing for the Bulls and being an all-star. But I got to take a team from North Carolina. So I'm going to pick my favorite team that ever played in North Carolina because I can't hate on that team. But Michael Jordan's team, what is this, 1982 with MJ, James Worthy, Sam Perkins. So that was the squad. I like watching highlights of them play.
The original Shaq. You know, when people didn't think Michael Jordan had a jumper, the original shot, though.
Michael Jordan with hair.
Yeah, man, I don't. All I have is what. Hey, kids, gather around. Back in the day, we used to watch VHS tape highlights of our favorite players.
Hell yeah.
So all my like North Carolina footage where I had like, I don't know how many Michael Jordan themed tapes did they make between Be Like Mike, I Believe I Can Fly, like, you know, Fly With Me, do all those things. And I could bought every single one of them because there might be 2 seconds of footage that I didn't own. So that was my full experience with that North Carolina team. But hell yeah, man. How is that dude not the number one pick in the draft?
We're tripping, right?
It still baffles me to this day. But I mean, that's a lot of hindsight. You know, everybody watched Air, right? On Amazon.
That was awesome.
Nobody was really quite sure if he could be it.
And like, did we really think he was going to be it? No. Did we like
Right.
him right away? Nah, he shot the ball too much. He doesn't pass. Like, y'all forget about how much we hated Michael Jordan. Then he went out one summer and decided he was going to work out and cut all his hair off.
He retired the gold rope. It was weighing him down. Shit, I only have two left. I
And you're
gotta
safe
do.
on either of them because I got a team that I know you would never pick.
I got an Illinois team, and that's Pay Productions. I feel I should do that. But I got two other teams that are near and dear to my heart. I got more than two, but. Again, I'm sticking with my autobiographical tour, and I'm going to take a team I know is not on your list. It's not on anybody's team. But it was the most balanced team. Every one of their starters scored in double digits. Double digit seed making it to the Final Four. And they came to march into your town of Indy. And yeah. I did not have a team in this fight. And I was like, shit, the Final Four is in Indy? I'm going. I'm just going because the Final Four is in Indy. So I hopped in my car, went to Indy, went out, partied, ran into, met up with Funk, who was living in Indy at the time. And checking it all out, dude. I'm like, shit, Final Four's in Indy, and I'm having a great time watching this tournament, and I really dig this George Mason squad that's just fucking upsetting everybody, dude. And what I realized when we were in Indy is, like, each bar kind of has a rooting interest. Like, some bar would just coin itself, you know, like, ah, oh, we're this team's bar. So we went to the George Mason bar. And there's all these signs everywhere and all these rowdy-ass fans for a team that's never been here, never going to be there ever again. And they adopted the song Kryptonite by, remember, Big Boy and the Purple Ribbon All-Stars?
Yeah.
So I'm in that bar. They're playing this song about every third song. I had nothing coming in, but by the end of my trip there, I met about 1,000 George Mason fans. They're buying tequila shots. I mean, I don't know if I ever paid for a drink. I didn't. I'm like, I don't really, know anything about your squad. But I'm like, at the end, I'm like, Jay White, I'm gonna buy a jersey. You know, like, I was into it. And like, they had Broad Ripple. They had like all these tents connected. Bar to bar, where like you're walking, you didn't know where one bar started, one ended. I ended up slipping into a VIP party and met, you remember that show Prison Break?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they were filming it at like a prison kind of in between Illinois and Indiana there, and a bunch of the cast were in there, and I ended up bumping into this like VIP party, and I met the lead character, Wentworth Miller, had a drink with him. Like, it could have been the cooler Final Four experience of my entire life.
That's dope.
But I went in with nothing, and I came out a George Mason fan. So I got to pick the 05-06 George Mason squad as one of my favorite teams of all time. Autobiographical.
Who was on that team?
Nobody, man. Everybody scored in double figures. Nobody went to the league. Like, Jay White was like, is J-A-I. White was like their like main dude, like, but he only averaged like 2 more points than anybody else on the team. It was like a truly balanced squad, dude. It was like crazy, but they ended up beating like the only team they lost to was Florida. They beat the defending champion and the number one overall seed, or not defending champion, but the number one overall seed, Connecticut, in the Elite Eight in overtime right before that to take them in there. They beat North Carolina. They just went in double-digit seed. They beat Michigan State, North Carolina, Wichita State, who was hot back then. Remember when they had their little run as the mid-major darling with that coach of the glasses? I can't remember his name.
Me either.
And then they beat the number one overall seed, Connecticut, dude. Like, I didn't think they were going to lose, dude. And they were just bumping kryptonite, like, going straight through. But they did lose to the eventual champions. They lost to Florida, and their Cinderella story was over. But come on, man. Like, that's what the tournament's made for, stories like that.
That's awesome.
So I got to take them. I still put that song on many mixtapes to this day, dude. Mixtapes, playlists, whatever you kids call them.
And think about your night with the George Mason fans. And Prison Break.
That's dope.
That's wild.
Wild, dude. If the Final Four ever comes back to Indy, dude, we're gonna fucking set this house on fire, man.
Yeah, let me know, man. We were there when Butler and Baylor played. Is it Butler and Baylor? Gonzaga and Butler? Who was it? Baylor and Gonzaga.
Sure.
Yeah.
That one wasn't on my list, man. I don't
Yeah.
know that one.
Me either. I had free tickets. All right, here we go. Last pick. So I refuse to pick a Duke team, and I'm
Me
still
too.
going to keep that going. But there are a ton of good Duke teams out there. But
There were. And I like some Duke players, but I'm not picking a team.
yeah, I'm going to take a team that had, I'll name the players. BJ Williams, nothing, right? What about Jacque Vaughn?
Oh, yeah.
What
Kansas.
about Scott Pollard?
Yeah.
What about Rafe LaFrenz? What about Paul Pierce? So
Oh,
that
yeah.
Kansas team
It's
was freaking lethal, and they
loaded.
didn't win the championship.
Loaded.
They didn't win the championship, but that team right there, they were fun to watch play basketball, and their players
Yeah.
were skilled, and it made basketball look beautiful the way they played it.
Nah, and that like when you name those players, like they were household names when that tournament came around, dude. Yeah, man, Jacques. Like, how many Jacques have we seen? Jacque Vaughn, like
Never again. And
nah.
we could pick him out of a lineup. If they said, point out Jacque Vaughn, we could point to him and we'd know which one was Jacque.
And Pollard got in the league and went all like emo. Remember
Yeah.
that? Like, started painting his nails and like growing his hair out. He was
And
wild business, dude.
Friends was
The
a
Friends
baller.
was, yeah, man. He had some big years for the Nuggets. Oh, man. I totally forgot about that squad, man. I didn't have any Kansas on here at all. That's brilliant, dude. I like that. Damn. How am I going to finish off? All right. I
You
got
got George Mason, like you're winning.
I got one of the most dominant performances I've ever seen in the tournament. I got my under the radar Illini squad. Nobody would pick. Well, somebody would. Illini fans. It was a fun team. And then I got college squad. All right, I'm gonna leave off my dominant team. I'll say that for honorable mentions because that's not as much autobiographical as like that was just my jam. All right, it's paint production, so I got to take my Illini squad. You have an Illini squad. I'm taking the 2012 2013 Illini team.
Okay.
This was after, you know, your team went to the Final Four. We finally realized the kind of coach we had in Bruce Weber when he started linking together some of the worst recruiting classes in the history of our franchise. And it was like we were Annie Dufresne in the tunnel. And it was like, will we ever be free? And then we hired a coach, nice guy, good guy. Wished him well. He's still coaching. He made it to the tournament this year, and John Gross. And, but the first year he came in was 2012 and 13, and we had a fun ass squad, dude. We came out of nowhere and we won the Maui Invitational. No one expected us to. And then we went to Zag's house in Spokane, Washington, and they were a number 10 team at the time. And my boy Brandon Paul scored 35 and hit the call me sign to the crowd. He was talking some serious shit. We had him. We had DJ Richardson. It was just a fun team. We beat number one overall Indiana at home on this last second backdoor play with Tyler Griffey. And then we snuck in. We didn't expect anything out of this season. And we ended up coming in as a seven seed. And those that watched the game against Miami know we were robbed by the out-of-bounds play. Even the Miami players, I remember when Brandon Paul, when he was trying out for the NBA, talked to Spencer Larkin, who played on that Miami team. And he was like, you know, that shit was out on y'all, right? And he agreed. And we would have gone to the Sweet 16 that year, and we wouldn't have been as big of a footnote on all of our NCAA things during this. You know, we haven't been into the Sweet 16 since we would have been that year. We should have been that year, and we got robbed out of it. But it was not our greatest season. Let's see. We were 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We finished 7th in the Big Ten at 8-10. We went 23-13. But it was dope. We had Tracy Abrams still on that team. Like random Kevin Bernardini, Nana Egwu. Like all Nana, remember Nana? The tall, stretched out, defensive minded, like
block everything.
Party. Yeah. So we went out of the non-conference season. We only lost our bragging rights game. And then we just got pummeled in the Big Ten. We lost, let's see, 7 out of our first 9. And then we went on a tear. But then when we finally beat number 1 Indiana, it was like, oh, shit, we might be able to save the season and get to the tournament. But, yeah, it was DJ Richardson had an uncharacteristically bad shooting game against Miami, and that out-of-bounds play was too much. But when I think about that era, you know, that early 10, you know, those DJ, Bertrand, Brandon Paul, Tracy Abrams, they were all on there. Ray Vonte just started on the team, but he was redshirted, but he was still there. Yeah, Nana, Tyler Griffey, Mike Henry. I mean, come on, that's you, dude.
That's a great name.
Right? With a Y, though. But yeah,
like it.
It was just, I don't know. And there were, for the first time in a while, I had hope. Like, it was 7 years after we had our dominant season. I mean, we did have a good season the year after that because Augustine and D stayed for one extra year. But there were some bleak years after that. And
for sure.
2012, 13, I thought we righted the ship. And then that turned out not to be true. But for 1 year, it was something.
Hell yeah.
Gotta take that squad. I had the poster for a while, man. One of those schedule posters they gave out at the Assembly Hall, now State Farm Center. But I don't think I have it anymore. But it was one of those ones I saved because they also had a dope social media presence. Joe Bertrand used to do these things called Joe Tales, where he'd like do a lot of really goofy ass shit before like people were doing short little TikToks. Like he'd just be like laying under someone's bed for like way too long and then jump out at them. And it's like, dude, who stayed under there that long for like that little payoff? But it was funny. That's my last pick.
It's a great pick.
Let's go. I got two more. Let's do two more free agent pickups here. We got our top six. But I know you got at least one more that you got. It was tough to cut.
Definitely. I got
let's go rapid fire.
Okay. Favorite backcourt ever. CDR, Chris Douglas Robinson, and Derrick Rose. Memphis.
Hell yeah. Hell
That's
yeah.
My squad.
Man, prime Derrick Rose. It's still sad. Speaking of viral things, man, I still pull up footage of that of his MVP season to my kids. Like, man, because they also think the Bulls are kind of lame, despite Jordan. They kneel at the GOAT. You know, they know the right one, but they still is like, man, when's the last time they were good though, Dad? And I was like, let me show you the MVP Rose season. I had my. Again, autobiographical, my college experience. I went to Illinois State. Yes, listeners, I did not go to University of Illinois. I lived here, man. I couldn't go to school here, too. That's just a little bit too much pain. But Bloomington, Illinois did have WCIA, which carried all the Illinois games, so I never missed one. But Illinois State had only a couple years of really relevant basketball from what I can remember, and they happened to be when I went to school there. So the 1997-1998 Illinois State Redbirds finished 25-6, 16-2 in their conference.
Let's go.
And actually won an NCAA tournament before getting handled by Arizona. But my boy Rico Hill was holding it down. It was one of those things, like, I can imagine kids like today at Illinois camp, you know, seeing college basketball players like at classes and stuff. It was cool. Like Leroy Watkins, our center, was only 6'7". We had Dan Muller, the do it all white boy. Kyle Cartmill, the slick junior guard. But it was a nice team. Again, Rico Hill was dope. He was dominant from Calumet Park. But we had back-to-back seasons where we made the tournament. We lost in the first round the year before as an 11 seed. We came in as the dreaded 9, but we beat the 8 seed Tennessee before losing, obviously, to the number 1 seed. But it was dope just to make it, win a game. Like, all right, you know, Redbird Arena was not Assembly Hall. You could get tickets relatively easy and experience the whole thing. And it became like a thing as it was going on because nobody really saw it coming.
Was it ever named Doug Collins Gym or something like that? Or was that a secondary
No,
game?
No, I mean, his jersey and all that stuff's in there. And, you know, he's like the guy. But no, there's not much named after him.
Gotcha.
He's like the number one pick. He's the trivia question and all that kind of stuff. But no.
I wonder if he was good. I never seen highlights.
Neither have I, dude. I was curious too, man. I bet he had like a wicked like white man fro though, because he had those tight curls, dude.
Oh, yeah. He had some super short shorts on too.
Yeah, oh, man, awesome. We never had cool uniforms, man, so I guarantee they were super less cool back then. Redbird swag was never really that hot, even when I went to school there, man. I didn't have much. And then the other squad I was going to pick, most dominant freshman season, one of my favorite teams to watch was when Melo went through in 02-03, yeah. Syracuse. I liked McNamara, the other freshman, yeah. Sharpshooter, and the old man who was only a sophomore at the time, Warwick, who I think maybe just – is he still in the league, or did he just finally go – Hakeem?
He
was in
while.
There forever, man, just fucking cutting people and doing whatever the fuck he did at the end of the bench. But those three right there, man. But Melo's run – as a freshman, just hoisting. Nobody really thought Bayon could do it with that 2-3 zone bullshit, but he just took it upon himself. Joe booed the whole thing. And I like that squad a lot.
Hell yeah. And that was concurrent with LeBron being his first year in the NBA. So
yeah,
they wanted to see LeBron and Melo were considered the two best players. So Melo got it done and like won his national championship and came to the league. And LeBron soon after, he obviously put his dominance on the world. But this is crazy that like all this shit was happening at the same time.
I know, right? And Wade had his Marquette run. I think they went to the Final Four, right?
Hell yeah. He went crazy. And we knew who he was. Like everybody knew where Robbins, Illinois is.
Right. And, you know, and
it's near Marquette Homer Glen.
You know, we talk about Doug Collins. When was the last time Marquette was fucking functional back? You know, like, I'm a little shocked, but we did go back and forth about NBA players but college players versus college teams, because I thought for sure you were going to have that Texas squad with Durant.
Yeah, I would have.
That was fun, but that's kind of more of a player, because I kind of debated the Iverson Georgetown squad, but yeah. I really just watched Iverson. I didn't give a shit about that team, or like Shaq LSU squad, you know,
Georgetown with Patrick Ewing.
Yeah, like I just watched those players, man. I didn't really like those teams, but they were like phenomenons on the squad. So
hell yeah, that's what made it fun. And then when you look back, Like, you're like, man, that was a good team. And then you look back and you notice all the names that ended up being in the NBA
Right.
for long periods of time. You're like, yeah, I knew he was good. So that's one of the criterias I had with my team was the pros that came from the team. Like our 2005 team, Luther Head, I mean, he was in the NBA for a little bit. Roger Powell was in the NBA for a little bit.
August
So, I
team played
mean,
for the Magic.
yeah. So,
And D even
Nick
had a cup of
Smith.
coffee.
Nick Smith
D
was
had a
in the
cup of
league.
coffee. I did Nick make it? No, man, Nick never made
In my eyes, he did.
it, dude.
So, pretty cool team. Yeah.
Oh
Everybody
no,
thought
that
D Brown was
team's.
the best. I knew it was Darren.
Ah, man, I loved Luther and Powell were like. Powell's ups were just. I was just watching the other day. I think it was the Louisville game, which was also slept on as an iconic kind of comeback, and we ended up beating a really talented Louisville team that year too. But where Roger Powell shot a three, got his own rebound and yoked on him, dude. It was like one of those things. Like his athleticism
Off the charts.
was overshadowed by how versatile and like well-rounded that team was, but man, that dude was like he looked like Jordan a little bit too, you know,
Oh,
like
yeah.
he yeah. So it was like one of
Big
those
dude,
things where
too.
like every now and then you kind of got a glimpse and it's like, holy shit, man, like this dude would be like the star of the squad in any other season. Now he's like fifth man, fourth or fifth man, depending on who you're
Yeah.
talking to.
Crazy.
Right, man. Another one for the books. I loved it. I love getting back out there. I love being healed. I'm chewing ice again. Things are good. And it's good to see you. Thanks, Paniacs, for being patient. I got a couple other things. We got the draft coming on Thursday, so I got a couple other episodes in mind before we start talking fantasy football again, because you know I'm jonesing for it. But that's our college basketball team draft for tonight. Thank you, Mike, for coming back on. Tell your friends, you know where all the social media is, but just tell a friend. Check out Pay Productions. Cheers, my man.
Holler.